grace is sufficient. Salvation is by grace.
Welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in Mount Airy, Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching, the timeless Word of God, will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way.
In the first part of his message that we heard last week, Pastor Brian Grant took us back to Acts 15, where we found the leaders of the early church gathered in Jerusalem to resolve an issue that threatened the unity of the body of Christ, the church. We learned that the council resoundingly resolved that issue by affirming the sufficiency of grace alone in all matters of salvation. This week, we will hear the conclusion of that message entitled, The Sufficiency of Grace, as Pastor Grant gives us a little history of how that doctrine of grace alone was soon lost in the traditions of men until rediscovered and reaffirmed in the Protestant Reformation. Listen now as Pastor Grant lists five major doctrines of the biblical faith that were reaffirmed in that momentous time of recovery. Once again, here's Pastor Grant.
Sometimes, you know, you listen to Christians and they, because society tells you, I can do what I want. I'm my own man, I'm my own woman. I can do what I want to do. And yet God is saying to you, no. For the sake of unity in the body of Christ, sometimes I've got to give both sides of the coin. There's passages of the scripture, I'm sure we'll get there one of these days. But listen, this challenge to the sufficiency of grace had been answered. Remember, this was all about, is grace sufficient or do they have to become Jews? Do they have to keep the law? And the apostles are saying, grace is sufficient. Salvation is by grace through faith. It's not by keeping the law. It's by grace, God's unmerited favor, through faith. That's the basis of salvation. The challenge had been answered. But soon there would be a departure from grace. And we want to talk a little bit this morning. I'm not going to dwell at it because I just want to give you something to give you the transition. Because I'm trying to show you that one of the greatest tools of the devil is to challenge the sufficiency of grace. He challenged it in the early church. He challenged it in the medieval church. And the devil is still challenging in our midst. The sufficiency of grace is being challenged right now. And you young people particularly, you need to make sure you understand what the Bible teaches. And I'm not going to name any names, but I'm going to give you a little bit of information this morning that ought to help you as you develop and as you rub shoulders with others to understand the truth of the gospel, the truth of the Word of God, the sufficiency of grace. You know, Gentiles eventually became the vast majority in the church. And of course, therefore, they assumed the leadership. And as time went by, the Roman Catholic Church became the primary Christian church. I hope some of you realize that. You see, some of us, because we're growing up in this age when they have Catholics and Protestants, we don't realize there was a time there was no such thing as a Protestant. The Roman Catholic Church was the primary Christian witness. And the Pope was the dominant leader. But soon they would depart from the teaching on grace. And I want to share this morning three primary ways in which the church soon departed from the sufficiency of grace. Number one, the church soon rejected the sole authority of Scripture. You see, the church, the Roman church, taught the doctrine of what's called apostolic succession. This means each pope was a successor of Peter, the Apostle Peter. The church taught, without any merit, without any biblical basis, the church taught that the first pope was Peter, and every pope since then was his successor. As Peter's successor, each pope was infallible, and by infallible, they were really saying that popes were without error when speaking as pastor and teacher of all Christians. I hope you realize the danger where that leads you to. Once you put that much responsibility and authority in someone where you're saying that their word is infallible, because they were infallible, the teaching and traditions passed down by the popes became as authoritative as the Bible. I hope you realize that. The sole authority of Scripture had been rejected. But after rejecting the sole authority of Scripture, shortly after, they rejected the teaching of justification by faith alone. Faith in the finished work of Christ was not enough to justify you before God. Faith in what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary was not enough to get you into heaven. And so the church introduced purgatory. Purgatory was an intermediate stop. So after you died, you went to purgatory before you made it to heaven. Why? Because the only people, heaven is such a perfect place, only perfect people can get to heaven. And faith does not justify you. Aren't you glad this morning that we have discovered? Aren't you glad this morning that we have come to recognize that being justified by faith? You say, Brother Brian, what does justified mean? Justified means that God has declared me righteous the minute I say yes to Jesus and receive Him into my heart by faith. That moment, He justifies me. He declares me righteous. I am then fit for heaven. Oh, that's shouting ground. But you see, the church now says, no. You got to go to purgatory. And you got to find yourself a way to get out of purgatory. My brothers and sisters, things really got ugly when the church introduced the teaching about indulgences. And indulgence reduces the amount of punishment you have to pay for your sin. Oh, so you've accepted Jesus by faith, but now you have to deal with these indulgences. An indulgence reduces penalty. You see, there are two places you have to pay penance on earth, and when you get to purgatory, you got to find yourself a way out. And the Catholic Church said, guess what? These indulgences will reduce your punishment. Here's the funny part. You know how you got one? You had to buy it. So now you had to pay, you had to purchase an indulgence, and by your going to the church and purchasing an indulgence, the priest was able to reduce your penance, and you may get a reduction of the time in purgatory. You could get out earlier.
I hope if your bank account is low, you're thanking God that there's a better way.
Oh, I hope there's somebody here this morning who said, thank you, Jesus, that I don't have to have a bank loaded with money to buy me some fat indulgences.
Do you realize that some of these great cathedrals, as we go around the world and look at them, that they were financed by these indulgences? That the Catholic Church actually built some of these wonderful buildings on selling you remission of sin. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for your blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. My friend, listen. You can get this saved this morning without drawing this church a check. Jesus has already paid it all. Do you hear what I'm saying? This Bible, it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, has cleansed us. Oh, I'm so happy to know my sins are gone. But third, before I get carried away, not only was there a rejection of the sole authority of Scripture, not only was there a rejection of justification by faith alone, there was a rejection of the priesthood of all believers. Oh, the whole idea where God invites you in His Word to come boldly to the throne of grace, where you can find mercy and grace to help you in time of need. That doctrine somehow was put on the back burner, and God is inviting us. Can you imagine that this invitation that God has given you and me to come to Him boldly? The church said, no, don't come boldly. We got some priests here. Come to them. You come to them, tell them what you did wrong, and they will tell you how much punishment you got to pay. I pass by a drive around. You know, we've been blessed to travel a lot, and you see these people doing all sorts of this to get penance, doing penance to try and get it right with God. Oh, my friend, if you're here this morning, you might be from a Catholic background. I'm not preaching against the church. I'm only preaching the book. All I'm doing is sharing what the book says. When I was a boy, I don't know how it is now, all my friends, none of them knew what the book said. In fact, they were not even encouraged to pick up the Bible. Because you see, the whole issue of the priesthood of all believers was not being taught. If you don't believe in the priesthood of all believers, you believe that whatever you are to learn about God or from God, you got to go to a priest and let him tell you what God has to say to you. But aren't you glad this morning we have the book? Christian friend, I need to ask you, we got the book. Are you spending any time in this book? If you're not careful, if you don't spend any time in this book, that's why anybody can tell you anything. The Bible warns us that if we're not careful, we can be blown about by any wind of doctrine, by cunning of men.
We invite you to join us each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. as we go through a sermon series based on the book of Acts. This series is entitled Pentecostal Power, Lessons from the Early Church. These studies will explore the epic journey of the first followers of Christ who, through the power given at Pentecost, changed the world. Come and discover how these lessons learned from the early church can change our lives today. For further information, please call our church office at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550. And now, back to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
We have great Bible studies here on a Sunday morning. Do you know we have 4 Bible studies here on a Tuesday evening? You can find something that you want to study. And if you can't fit in those schedules, you come to Brother Leroy, Brother Charles, or myself as the elders. We will find a way to make sure. If you're serious, we will make sure. We will make sure we are committed to helping you. If you are committed to learn, we are committed to helping you learn. The rejection of the priesthood, but then thank God for the recommitment to grace. The Protestant Reformation, over the years, several attempts were made to bring the church back to the truth of the Bible. You heard us young people read so beautifully. Thank you, young people. So beautifully telling us what was going on. But these efforts were rebuffed, resulting in the death of martyrs like John Wycliffe. And Wycliffe, as some of you know, that's why the Wycliffe Bible Translators is named after him, because he was one of those determined to translate the Bible into the language so the regular man on the street could read the Bible. But guess what? That was such a crime, he was killed for translating the Bible so you could get it. This is why sometimes this history is helpful for us to realize what people went through to get you this Bible that you leave on the bookshelf. People died. But then October 31st, 1517, change finally came. That day, Martin Luther, a Catholic monk, as you've heard, he nailed his 95 theses to the door of the Catholic Cathedral in Wittenberg, Germany. And these theses simply means that he was pointing out 95 errors in the doctrine and practice of the Catholic Church. And by the way, the primary thing that motivated him and got him fired up was this practice of indulgences and selling indulgences. Because as Martin Luther said, if the church has a way of getting you salvation and into heaven, why doesn't it just give everybody a free pass? Think of it. Can you imagine? We as preachers of the gospel, if God has given us 1,000 tickets to heaven, and we say, listen, we'll only give us $1,000. No, no, no. If we've got so much power, give it away for free. That was Luther's point. If you got it, of course you don't have it, but if you really had it, give it away. I thank God this morning that what I have to talk about is without money and without price. Without money, listen, this salvation I'm talking about, you can't buy it. You know why you can't buy it? It's been paid for. It's been paid for in full. Jesus paid it all. Jesus purchased my salvation way back on Calvary's tree, conquered sin, death, and the grave just because he loves me. Hallelujah. What a Savior. But you know, there were five essentials of the Reformation that we must talk about. And don't worry, I'm going to be quick as I can be. Five essential doctrines that came from the Protestant Reformation. Five what they call solas of the Reformation. Sola means alone. It's the Latin word alone. Number one, sola scriptura. The Bible, not the tradition or the opinion of any church leader, is the sole authority for all matters of faith and practice. Scripture alone, not scripture and some other book. There are people running around today and they have other books. Oh, they love the Bible. In fact, there's a big advertisement on TV every now and then. It comes on, it says, the Bible is part one of God's story. Now write in and you'll get part two. Oh, it's the Bible and some other book. There's some who worship on Saturdays who will tell you, listen, it's the Bible, but there's a certain lady who has some important books that you also must hang on to, because her interpretation of Scripture is as important as the Scripture itself. Oh, that's in our generation. Young people, be careful if you ever, when you leave here and you get a little older and you're trying to choose a church, be careful not to join one where it's a one-man show. You see what happened when the Pope was the one-man show? Be careful. This is one of the reasons why the apostle, as he traveled through the churches that he had started, the Bible takes the time to say he appointed elders in every place. There has got to be a plurality. It cannot be a one-man show. And if you ever see us starting to act like it's a one-man show, you better grab us and say, I thought you said it's not a one-man show. It ought not to be a one-man show. But what does it say there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16 and 17? It said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here's the part I don't want you to miss, that the man of God may be what? Complete. What is the next word? Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Did you notice that? Listen to me, young person. The Bible by itself is all you need to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's why Scripture alone. Are you getting it? Because the Bible is what thoroughly equips us. Second, sola gratia, salvation by grace alone. Thank God for His unmerited favor. Do you know, though, can I be honest with you and let you know that the Church of Jesus Christ today is finding a lot of challenges to sola gratia, salvation by grace alone. Oh, you see, if you're not careful, young person, you go to college, like when I was in college, it still happens, and somebody tells you, have you spoken in tongues yet? You say, no. They say, oh my, if you haven't spoken in tongues, you're not saved. Oh, you see, we've added. It's not grace alone. Oh, you got to speak in tongues. Then some say, are you telling me you don't go to church on a Saturday? Are you telling me you don't? You eat pork? Oh, please don't go there. Because I got to confess. I'm one pork-loving pastor. It doesn't affect my salvation. But some people say if you eat the pork, to hell you go. You understand what we're saying? We just refuse to accept it's by grace. Some people say if you're not baptized, or baptism is critically important. Because remember, grace teaches. Grace teaches us. But you don't get saved because you're baptized. But as grace teaches you, you will want to be baptized. Sola fide. Salvation through faith alone. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is God's part. Faith is our part. Amen? Grace opens the doors to salvation. Listen to me good. If you're here this morning and you're not sure that you have a ticket in heaven, I want you to realize that God's grace has opened the door. But until you exercise your faith in Him and receive the work of Christ for your salvation, you are not saved. Fourth, solus Christus, in Christ alone. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Brothers and sisters, there is no room for Chrislam. Oh, you've heard about Chrislam. Some churches are trying to merge Christianity and Muslims. They say, particularly in the African-American context, they're saying, we all need to get together and there's no point, so let's find a way to merge Christianity and the Muslim religion into Chrislam. But my Bible says there is no room for it. There's no room for these men who found special tablets. No, there's no room for them. Mary is not a co-mediatrix. Oh, you know, there are some who say that Mary is a co-mediator with the Lord Jesus Christ. No, there is no room for that. It's solus Christus, in Christ alone. Fifth, soli Deo Gloria, for the glory of God alone. Ephesians 1:11-12, in Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will. Don't miss this. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. Salvation is of God and has been accomplished by God for His glory alone. So let's put it together. Our salvation is what? By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the glory of God alone. So, let me ask you, have you received this grace? Have you received it? Are you sure that your name is written in God's book? Are you sure that if you died today, you would go to heaven? Are you sure, sure, sure? My goodness, what a pity if you missed it. Considering the grace of God, what a pity if you missed it. God has extended His unmerited favor to all mankind. And He says, no matter what you have done, your past does not matter. He wants to save you now by His grace. But the only way He's going to save you is for you to receive Him by faith. Faith is an exercise of your will. This morning, you can exercise your will. Say, God, Jesus, thank you for dying for my sin. I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
Thanks for tuning in today. We trust this was a real encouragement to you. If you made a decision for Christ today, or if we can be of any spiritual encouragement, please contact us. Counselors are available to respond to your questions and to send you resources that will help in your walk with Christ. You can reach us weekdays at 215-242-5550. That's 215-242-5550, or by visiting our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org.
Living God's Way is the broadcast ministry of the Germantown Christian Assembly, located at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. We invite you to join us for worship each Sunday at 10:45 a.m. and for Tuesday night community connections every Tuesday at 6 p.m. And now, on behalf of Pastor Brian Grant, Steve Washington, and our entire church family, this is Taylor Noble reminding you to tune in same time next week for another edition of Living God's Way.